Hello, everyone. Hello, hello. This is Nicole, and I am here with you today. How are you? It's really good to be here today. It's good to be with you. I have been thinking a lot this week about consciousness and vibration and the ways in which we live our lives so we can live at the best possible happiness and presence and joy. And I really want to talk about that today because I think it's so important. I think we underestimate the importance of realizing that our consciousness that we bring, our mindfulness that we bring to each situation is a game changer when it comes to our health. And I want to talk about that today and to invite you guys to really change your perspective on how important it is to realize how your consciousness has shifted as you've done this work and to realize your wins and to keep you going on this path because so many beautiful things await you. So before we get started, I need to talk about a few things that I often forget to talk about. First is I need your help in rating and reviewing this podcast. I don't often remember to say that, and the truth of the matter is rating and reviewing a podcast really matters. I've been hearing this over and over again from podcasters, from accomplished podcasters with whom I have spoken that if you have a moment, if this podcast is speaking to you, I'm getting many thousands of views, but not many ratings. If you could just take that one moment to go click and tell me what you think of it, maybe write a few words to review it. It really helps getting it noticed. As most of you guys remember from hearing me say it 100 million times, my goal with this work is to bring this message to the global community. I want my words to reach as many people around the world as possible, because every time I read another life-changing email or hear another person come up to me on the street who has read my words or listened to a video or done my work, and they tell me how it's hard for me to even put words to it. It's like breathtaking how their life has transformed, how they were in chronic pain, chronic fear, chronic symptoms. Maybe they weren't even in a debilitating situation. They just had a life that was really small. You know, they were always waiting for the headache or waiting for the nerve pain or watching what they ate down to 5 foods that they didn't like because of their irritable bowel. And now they're living lives of complete freedom. And I hear these people and I read their emails and sometimes they're trying their best to speak English because they're writing me from all around the world. And every time I read it, I'm like, oh my goodness, I got to get out there. I got to tell as many people as possible. And one of the ways that apparently that really happens is rating and reviewing a podcast. So if you have a moment, please hop onto iTunes and rate and review the podcast. Leave a comment. Even if you've left a comment before, you can leave a comment again. I don't think you can rate the entire podcast more than once, but anything you do that can help. So thank you so much for doing that. Another thing I want to remind you guys is of my Omega retreat coming up in July. I get many, many requests on a daily basis to work with me. This is the way to work with me. I know it's going to cost some money, and I know that Omega isn't really close. It's in upstate New York. You can find all the information on the resources page of my website. I know it's not close to everyone, but it's going to be 5 days of really transformative, magical stuff. So I invite you to come. I urge you to come. Another thing I'm really hopeful for is that we can create a big, vibrant group, because when Omega sees a big group come, they promote it more. They invite me back. And then this is what we're doing. We're spreading the message. We're carrying the message to the global community as best as possible, because everything matters. Everything matters. When people see you speak and then they say, hey, come and be interviewed on my podcast or come appear on TV as an expert in pain, rather than hear from a Western medical doctor who's talking about the right prescription of opioids or how to manage your opioids without becoming addicted or something, you know, in that vibration, there's the vibration of my work and of the people that I'm surrounding myself with to carry the message of true enduring healing. So come to Omega if you can. I really can't wait to spend the week with these people, that anyone who comes, and have it be, have myself watch them transform in real time. It's just really exciting to me. And if you're just curious, if you're curious about my work, if this is the first you're hearing me, everything you need to know about what I do is available on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. click on the resources tab and learn about what you can do for yourself and how you can feel so much freedom. Based on the life you may be living, you might be feeling like you're stuck in a jail. Maybe you even know it's a jail of your own making, but you didn't ask for it and you're not sustaining it consciously. It is an unconscious process that's going on for you. So I really invite you to learn more. I have a YouTube channel. I have this podcast, which has many episodes, many interviews with people who have healed. And I have some live events coming up. As you know, I'm Omega July 21st through the 26th. I'll be speaking at NYU. That link is also available on my website on April 12th with Lisa Schlossberg, who is doing a beautiful symposium on how mind-body work affects our weight and the obesity epidemic, and how the emotional side of our weight is the part that can shift you to a lifelong relationship with your body that you love. And so that is happening on April 12th at NYU. And that is actually free. If you can find your way to NYU, and there will be links in the information on the podcast today, and also on the resources page of my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. And I'm also doing another live event here in coastal Delaware at Lanikai Wellness Studio, and that is going to be in May. And I will announce the details of that upcoming on further podcasts, and it will also be on the resources page of my website. So thank you for listening to all that blah, blah, blah. It's really important to me to get the word out, and anything I do can help. So that is that. Okay, today it's just you and me. Not going to bring on any guests today, because today I want to talk to you directly from my heart to yours about consciousness, about mindfulness, about intention when it comes to your healing. And a big part of our ability to stay conscious is not being constantly triggered by unconscious emotional triggers that don't have to do with today, that have to do with the past. And that's what Journal Speak does for us. I get so many lovely messages on my Facebook page. Oh, that's one more thing. If you're not in my Facebook community, it's called Journal Speak with Nicole Sachs. It's a closed group on Facebook. Search it up on Facebook and join us, because the conversation there is just, it's really heart opening, and it's a totally closed group. No one can read your posts but the people I approve to be in the group. So I got a beautiful message there that I just wanted to share with you. A woman is sharing about beginning her Journal Speak journey, and she says, "For over 20 years, I've been on a spiritual journey, and I've done, seen, heard some amazing things. I believe they all led me to this single process of journaling in Journal Speak. Within the first week, I was able to access my inner child, pre-wounded. By doing this process every morning for 20 minutes, and she writes, and now for 10 at night, which is her choice, but I always say, the more you can do, the better. I'm slowly but surely, and as gently as possible, sifting through the dross to get to the purity underneath. It's nothing but mind-boggling and the most gorgeous gift to be had. Each day, sometimes easier than others, I make conscious contact with an all-knowing, very wise part of myself. And it's a life changer. Thank you, Nicole, for setting us on this simple but powerful path. And thank you, fellow travelers, for your commitment and care." Guys, did you hear that person's heart? I am just telling you right now, I am filled. My whole heart, mind, and spirit are filled when I hear these stories of people getting it. So what's amazing about that beautiful letter post that I just read is that that person on her path to deeper consciousness and deeper healing and deeper connection to herself is also going to free herself from her chronic symptoms, whatever they are. I don't know her and I don't know what she struggles with. But the most amazing, miraculous part of doing this Journal Speak work is your nervous system is going to switch from fight or flight to rest and repair, and you are not going to have chronic pain anymore. Chronic pain is an epidemic of fear. Chronic pain is an epidemic of fight or flight. When we switched from fight or flight to rest and repair, by allowing these unconscious emotions that we've had for all these years to rise safely, we no longer, our nervous system and our brain are no longer sending pain signals and symptoms to the bodily systems and muscle groups that we are suffering with. It just stops happening. And I always say, if this was just some happy idea that I came up with, wouldn't that be nice? But this is over 25 years of doing this in my own body, over 15 years of doing this in private practice, and seeing the most stunning examples of chronic pain situations, chronic symptoms, daily headaches, fibromyalgia, irritable bowel disease, different skin conditions, different seasonal allergies, seeing these things go from totally debilitating in people to gone. Gone. There's no cure for human pain. We're all going to get a headache from now and then. We're all going to get stomach issues when we're feeling real stressed out or whatever. But I'm talking no more chronic pain for these people. And in addition, that beautiful level of connection with our conscious self. I love how she put it, to my pre-wounded child. We all have a pre-wounded child in there. Some of us were wounded very young, but we all have a pre-wounded child in there. I'm going to tell you a little story about myself that I was discussing in my therapy session with my brilliant therapist last week. And it's a story I've shared with close friends, but I feel like it's a really, it's an important story that I can share with everybody about the pre-wounded child and about what triggers us today that I have discovered in my journal speak. So I have a memory of when I was 5 years old, and I have a memory of I used to walk to school, that lovely 70s childhood that most of us don't give our children these days. I try to do it as much as possible, but at 5 years old, without a parent, I walked to school. And my school was across the street from my house, almost directly, but the way the road was situated, it was a main road, it was a double yellow line, busy road, is that the only way for me to cross the street to go to school is I had to walk way down the block and cross with the crossing guard, which was fine. And the truth of the matter is, it probably was way shorter than I remember. In my mind's eye, it was like a mile. It was probably like two city blocks. But in any case, I was 5 years old and I was in kindergarten, and it was a very, very cold day. And I walked down my driveway and I got onto the sidewalk to make a left and walk the 100 miles to cross the street with the crossing guard. And it must have rained the night before and then frozen up in the morning. And although the road and the sidewalk were passable, were not covered in ice, my neighbor's driveway was a slick sheet of ice. It just must have been made from a different material that thawed less quickly, I don't know, but it was a sheet of ice. And at first I didn't notice it. I was five. And so I walked in whatever pace I was walking. And when I moved from the sidewalk to the driveway of my neighbor, I fell immediately, like flat on my face, and I went careening into the main road. I found myself on my face looking up at this double yellow line. And if a car had been coming, I would have been instantly killed. And I scrambled up, and in my panic, instead of running to the other side of my neighbor's driveway, which would have been obviously the prudent move if someone had the chance to think in that moment, I ran right back to my side of the driveway. So I'm in the same predicament. I still have not crossed this person's driveway to get to school. And immediately, the only option in my mind was, I'm going to try again. But this time I knew what I was getting into. So I very carefully tried to step onto my neighbor's driveway. And once again, and it's so crazy how memory works, how the brain remembers anything that traumatizes us in a way that it doesn't remember things that don't give us a charge. Because I must have walked over this driveway many, many times over kindergarten, first and second grade, the years that I attended this school. I remember this day. I remember what the driveway looked like. I remember the shiny ice. And it was so perfect. It was almost beautiful. It looked flawless. It looked like you could see right through it to the black of the driveway. And I carefully put my sneaker onto it. And by the second step, I wiped out just as hard. I fell just as hard down on it. And I went sliding into the main road again. And I once again, a car was not coming, thank God. A couple had come in the meantime. It was like Frogger, if anybody remembers Frogger. Or I think Crossy Road is the game kids play these days that looks like that. But anyway, I scrambled up back again to my side of the driveway. Not a smart move, but once again, I was five. And that's when I stood there. And listen, I say what I'm about to say not in judgment of my parents. And not in judgment of me. I'm just saying what is. I'm saying what is. And what happened in that moment is I looked up at my house where my mother was home. And it didn't occur to me to walk back up my lawn and knock on the door and ask for help. It was clear to me that that was not something I could do. And when I think about that moment as an adult talking to my therapist, I got emotional because I thought, what was broken in me? What was broken in me in the trust I had with my parents that I didn't think that they would be willing to help me? I know my mom. I know her now. I know that if a five-year-old had walked up the steps and knocked on the door and said, look at the driveway, I just fell in the street, she would freak out. She would have driven me to school. But it was communicated in a way that made sense to me as a five-year-old, that that was not acceptable. Asking for help was not acceptable. Maybe it was something as simple as because I remember when I used to go take a nap, my mom would say, no, you know, you're not allowed to come out of your room, go take a nap. Maybe I assumed that she wouldn't help me in other situations. It doesn't mean she wouldn't. It means that that little girl in me had a small trauma that I didn't think I could ask a grown-up for help. And for whatever reason it came, that's what happened. And I decided the only thing to do was to walk in the middle of the street. And I got off my sidewalk and I walked right in the middle of that double yellow road and I ran. And the driveway was dealt like a wide driveway. And I ran to the other side of it right in the middle of a busy mini highway. And I think over the years, I thought of that story as interesting or, I don't know, a little scary. But as a grown-up, as a woman who has five children and I've watched them grow, and I've watched them come to me for help in ways that I wouldn't have, I wonder, what was going on in me that I didn't think I was worthy of help? What was going on in me that I didn't think help was going to be given to me? Now, now it's my task to get to the bottom of that, but I will tell you how it's affected me over the years when it comes to deeper consciousness and revealing our consciousness to heal us today. Over the years, I have realized how hard it has been for me to ask for help, how painful, how self-effacing it has felt, which is, I don't believe, truth. I believe that in truth, we should all ask for help. We should feel free to ask for help, but I have not felt that way in my life. And I think that there was something in me, something unconscious operating that felt that I was alone in this world and I had to do things for myself. And over doing a lot of mind, body, spirit work, a lot of journal speak over the years, which has cured me from every chronic condition I ever had, right? So the side effect of that work, in addition to getting to a deeper consciousness, is I have no chronic pain. I have learned that I need to look at that little girl. I need to go and hold her hand and say, guess what? You don't need to be alone in this. Because by doing that, I stop feeling so left out in the moment. I stopped feeling so alone today by going back and sitting with her on that driveway and saying, wow, honey, this is scary. You're all by yourself. You know, you can go up and ask your mommy, let me walk with you. Let me walk with you and show you that she loves you and she'll do anything for you. You know, we don't know why our natures combine with our nurture to create the perceptive reality that we have, that we take through our lives. Whatever the reason, even if we can't come up with a solid reason, we need to nurture that little girl or little boy because her pain and his pain is stopping us from thriving today. Also, to some degree, it's fueling our nervous systems to remain in fight or flight, and then we can't get rid of our chronic pain symptoms. Our symptoms related to autoimmune disease are anything from troublesome daily aches and pains to a life of being on disability. You know, this is coming from these unconscious triggers that we don't often even know are happening. I haven't thought about that story for years. And it came up in some spiritual work I was doing with a friend. And then I decided to take it to my therapist. And I'm really realizing how pertinent it is, how important it is for me to look at those kind of things. And we all just walk the path, man. We all walk the path, and things are available to us as they become available to us. But today that's available to me. And I'm healing her, and I'm healing me. And you know what? Today I can ask for help. Today I can share that story with you, and I have no shame. And I'm not worried if my mom were to hear it, because she knows I love her and she loves me. This is life. Life is not a perfect smooth road like that beautiful driveway next to my house. Life is a slippery slope. And that's the facts. So when you take the time to do this work, you know, pain is an invitation. Pain is an invitation. You don't think that right now, maybe, but I'm telling you it is. And it invites you to the precipice of the truths that have been awaiting your acknowledgement. And when you see and feel and hear these truths, connect to that little kid who you left behind out of necessity. You know what? She was too heavy to carry. She was too heavy to carry, and you left her behind. And please don't feel bad about that, because the reason we have defense mechanisms is they protect us. And when we repress things, we repress them out of necessity. So don't feel bad that you couldn't carry her, but now you can. You're grown up now, and you can carry her, and you can bring her to having a voice and having eyes to see that your life today is a beautiful invitation to live with freedom. But that doesn't come from just deciding. It comes from setting, it comes from setting an intention that you are not going to live within the chains that you've been living. And how do you do that? Well, it's hard freaking work. Okay, this is not easy. It's simple, but it's not easy. Setting your intention to do a daily journal speak practice, even when you feel resistance. Resistance is there to protect you. We have discussed this. As Dr. Sarno said, denial of the syndrome is part of the syndrome. You will experience resistance to your journal speak practice. You will feel too tired. You will feel too busy. You will feel like you have time to do other things, but not this. And you'll be like, that's curious. Why can't I do other things and I can't seem to do this? Why? Because journal speak is triggering that part of you that says, no, I can't feel that. That would be too painful. I've created too many walls around that. And guess what? It is your ticket to freedom. It is the doorway through which your entire life awaits you. So it's about setting that intention and knowing that your consciousness is going to rise. The consciousness of the whole planet is rising right now. I don't know if anyone follows me on social media. Go to my Instagram at NJSachs and follow me, because I'm always trying to put up inspirational things there when I have a moment. And today I was writing about that. And I was writing that the consciousness of our planet is rising. And as it rises, we will have more availability to these kind of ideas. We'll pay attention more to these kind of ideas. We'll feel just slightly more stuck in our lives and able to take that next right considered action. Start a journal speak practice, start a meditation practice, start a spiritual journey, a quest to find what we need to find to heal our little kids inside and heal our pain and live on an entirely different plane. So that's what I want to say to you today. I want to tell you that if you're curious about what a journal speak practice is, go back to the podcast that is entitled either Journal Speak, Your New Best Friend, that's an introduction to journal speak, or the one I did around the new year, which is called A Daily Practice for the New Year. It's 20 minutes of journal speak as I define it, as I teach it, and followed by 10 minutes of loving kindness meditation for yourself. We just had a beautiful workshop on Sunday afternoon at Lanikai Wellness in Lewis, Delaware. Shout out to all of you guys who came. It was beautiful. And after we did our journal speak practice, we just all sat and we put two hands on our heart and we breathed into the love we have for ourselves, for our spirits, and just being together and being with ourselves that this is the path to healing. It was really awesome. I really love that afternoon. It was a taste of what we're going to be doing at Omega, and I hope that all of you guys who came on Sunday do join us at Omega, and I hope that everybody listening thinks about what a gift it is to give to themselves to do this work in a group, because the energy of the group is just stunning, and I love it so much. So that's what I got today. Please give yourself this gift. I know it's hard. I know it's confusing. I know that you're going to have a lot of good ideas why you can't do it, why it works for others and not you. That is not true. This is your life. This is your life. It's the one you get being you. And I really encourage you to take the leap and do this work for yourself. As for me, I am going to finish this podcast and start my work on some guided meditations that I have created. I'm going to record them. They're going to be up for sale on my website. A lot of people have written me requesting some guided meditations, and I have been working really hard at getting some amazing ones together. And so look out for that soon on my website. All right. I love you guys. I send you love and light and peace on this day. And I'll see you next week. This has been The Cure for Chronic Pain with Nicole Sachs. Bye-bye.